Okay, can you hear me? All right, so kids, I guess you're going to go, but here's what I want. As we're celebrating our graduates today, if you're a parent of one of these kids going back, I want you to look back as they're leaving. Because before long, they're going to be leaving. This process goes quick. So kids, workers actually, if you want to go first, and here's the other thing about this process, they will start going slower and slower and slower. Workers and kids, if you want to go, you're dismissed for children's church. You know, it's funny. Today we're gonna honor at the end of the service. We're gonna honor a couple young ladies, and you know, I can remember both of them for a lot of years. I think Chris, you had both these girls, right? You have Chloe, and you had Kayla, I know, right? So I've known these girls since at least they were in third grade. Knew of them anyway. So it's been fun to watch them progress, and I'll save the rest for later about that. But I want you to think about this. Life is a roller coaster. I was at Cedar Point yesterday for about 10 hours. Man, oh man. And it's kind of fun for Chris and I now because we don't have to ride. And everybody's finally tall enough. I think Lindsay just passed the height restriction this year, so she was able to go and didn't have to stay in Kitty Land, so it's kind of cool. But Chris and I sat around a lot and watched people because, you know, I like the ride, but man, I'm getting older, and by the end of the day, if I'm riding all those rides, I can barely walk out of the car. And I say I'm getting older, but as these kids progress and I see kids graduate that I've known all their lives, and I still feel like I'm 25. And I don't understand how the time passes so quickly. So, I got a story of a graduate that I read somewhere this week. This guy was going to be a college graduate. So he had, actually he was going to be a doctoral graduate. He had written his dissertation. And about 2 weeks before graduation, his sponsoring professor dies. So the university, in their infinite wisdom, said, man, you got to get a different sponsoring professor. Your sponsoring professor is dead. So the guy goes about his business and doesn't get a sponsoring professor. But the day of graduation, he prays to God. He said, Lord, if there's any way you can work this out and get me graduated, I'd appreciate it. So, and it's kind of funny, the Lord said, hey, I got good news for you, I got bad news for you. Guy's like, okay. So the good news is, at 12 o'clock today, you're going to walk across the stage, and you're going to graduate. Bad news is, at 12:01, the world's going to end, and nobody's going to remember you graduated. My challenge to us, as parents, as community members, as graduates, remember this day. For these girls, it was last Sunday. They graduated last Sunday, right? Is that correct? And so remember that. I can still remember my graduation day, even though it was 100 years ago. But now I remember less and less about it because I have my kids that I remember their graduation day. And their graduation means a lot more to me than what my graduation did. So Chloe and Kayla, your graduation, while it may seem like it's no big deal, it is a big deal. You know, the table's set up. Chloe's having a graduation party here tonight. And I was at a graduation party here Friday night. And I was part of the teardown crew because I'm brute strength and ignorance. They don't ask me to set up. Because a white tablecloth, yeah, it looks fine. I wouldn't need all the decorations. Yeah, it looks fine. The pictures on the wall are nice, but I just have them stuck up there. There'd be no rhyme or reason. This looks wonderful. Friday night looked wonderful. Well, I'm going to share. Brittany said, I'm going to come over. She said, leave the table set up. I'm going to come over tomorrow, set them up the way I think I want them, and then I'm going to push them over against the wall. I said, you what? I said, no, you're not. So that's why we're in half church. We're a left-handed church today for me, because you're all on my left side, and that's a good thing. Anyway, in the Old Testament, we're going to look in the book of Joshua today. Now, this book was written almost 1,400 years before Christ, but we can still apply it today. How perfect is our God? For those of you who don't know anything about Joshua, I didn't know a whole lot about Joshua, a little bit. He was actually, we all know Moses, right? Moses led the Israelites out of 400 years of slavery and bondage, crossed the Red Sea parted, walked across on dry ground. God was with Moses. God led Moses. Joshua is going to be Moses' replacement to lead the Israelites. So how does this tie into graduation? You two young ladies are stepping forward now into a different path that you've not been on before. Chloe, Kayla, doesn't matter what your paths are going forward. It's going to be something you've never done before. In a different setting, a different way of doing things. That's where Joshua was. And I'm just going to start in chapter 1. And I'm going to read the Julie has 6 through 9. But I'm going to start with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where to set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So there's Joshua's commission. He was called to God's service. Anybody been called to God's service? Did you get a memo like Joshua got? Or just get little hints? Hey, here's where I want you. Man, Joshua was empowered. Did he doubt it still? Don't know. Probably. But he did it. So as these girls are heading out, God's got a plan for them. They may not know what it is yet. That's okay. He will give it to them. But how cool would that be to be this guy that's replacing? And I'll relate it to basketball. Those of you may know, LeBron James, probably my favorite athlete, because I think he's done it the right way for the most part. He's active in his community. He married a girl and he stuck with her. He had a child out of wedlock, but hey, whatever. He made it right. As far as I know, he's never had a traffic violation, never had a drug arrest, never had a DUI. My wife would swear otherwise. She's not a fan of him. But this guy has done a lot for Akron, Cleveland. But he is remembered by his basketball legacy. To me, that's silly. He's a great player. He's fun to watch. But as we found out, and I have to share this too, I failed as a father. Shelby is a Golden State Warriors fan, and I hate it because they are so good that the best player in the world can't beat them because they are the best team in the world. And God, that's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to be the best individual in the world. He wants us to be part of the best team in the world. And that is with him as the captain. So it's kind of cool. But imagine if I'm LeBron James Jr., who is 14. No matter what this kid does, who is he compared to? He's never going to be good enough. That's the way I think Joshua might feel here. I'm not good enough to take over from Moses. He was great. Now, some people would question that. All the bad stuff that happened during Moses. I mean, they were in exile for, 40 years? Just wandering around in a circle while Moses was in charge. That'd be a good time. I think I've seen that before. Yeah, last year on September, we walked by it. But here's Joshua taking over. So I'm sure he has questions, right? I'm sure the graduates, as I think back to my time, I had questions. And my wife, Chloe and Kayla, I'll tell you this right now. My plan was I was going to go to college, major in secondary education with a concentration in math. And what that means is I had to take, 100 hours of upper level math. Not sure that was my plan or my uncle's plan because I wanted to go be a gym teacher. Yeah, I know, imagine that, right? The fat guy in the gym class. But my uncle, who was a teacher, retired, he said, hey, go into math. Go into math. You'll always have a job. I liked math in high school. Okay. 3 years into that, God changed the plan for me. I am a semester away from being able to teach. But God took me into a different direction where I think I was able to touch as many lives. Because I'm telling you, if you ever worked in retail. So why do I say all this? If God's given you your plan already, Chloe and Kayla, perfect. If he hasn't given you your plan yet, perfect. In his time, he will give you his plan for you. All right? So now we're going to get into it. Just as back then when God gave Joshua the good news, he has good news for graduates today. And I'm going to break this into four parts. There's four promises I think we can pull out of this that I want the graduates to take today. Here are the points I want you to take. Number one, the good news includes God's promise of success. And that's in Joshua 1, 7 and 8. We're going to read 6 too, though. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So notice it doesn't mention you're going to make millions of dollars. It doesn't mention you're going to be the greatest biologist the world has ever seen. It doesn't mention that you're going to be the greatest artist the world has ever seen. It says you're going to be prosperous. What's that look like? We think of prosperous, we think of money, right? Unfortunately. Prosperous could be how many people you touch. How many people look at your life and say, hey, there's somebody who's doing it right. Okay? And what's our limitations that we have to follow? Follow the law that God gave to Moses, Ten Commandments, and read this book. Now, at the time this was written, there was 5 books in the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or probably, I don't know. There's 5 books. The books of the law. So it wasn't those. It was, I couldn't even tell you. Matt, what are the 5 books of the law? Okay? So they give you all the laws, and I can't read some of them because some of those laws were just, oh, I got to build the tabernacle 9 cubits by 42 cubits, and the banner has to be 7 cubits by 41. That gets tedious for me. I want to know that I got a church building where I can go to. I don't care if it's 10 cubits, 20 cubits. But those were important things back in those days because God had a plan. God has a plan for you two young ladies. Follow the plan. Now we have the whole book to follow. And some of us don't like to read the Old Testament. That's fine. I guarantee in the New Testament there's stuff in there that you can apply to your life because that was the life of Jesus. What a better example. We don't have one. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11. We all know it. It's in the bulletin. I love this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So Chloe and Kayla, you can nod your head. You don't have to speak. I told you you wouldn't have to speak. You guys are excited because you have a hope of a future, correct? You don't want to just go and be a bum the rest of your life, right? Unless it's on a beach. I could do that, right? No, I couldn't. I'm fat, remember? But God has a plan for each individual one. He knows each hair on my head. You don't think he can keep track of what he wants Chloe and Kayla to do? He does. Second promise, or the second good news for graduates, includes the promise of security. And that's in that first section of verses, verses 1 through 5, where he told Joshua, I'm going to give you people this that I promised you years ago. Lead them in, Joshua. So that we have that promise. We know God is in charge if we let him be. If we let him be. The third I want to talk about today is the promise of God's provision. Joshua had to fight many battles once he took over. And you know, in there, in verse, I don't know what verse, it said, let me look. Anyway, somewhere in there it says, and you will not be defeated. No army will defeat you. Now, if we can go into life knowing that we're going to be successful no matter what, and we can go into life know that God's going to take care of us no matter what, wouldn't we all sign up for that? Why don't we? Why don't we? Because there's some people that will fight God tooth and nail the whole way. He's already given you the promise. He died on the cross for our sin. He wants a relationship with you. If I'm pretty sure if he can deliver Joshua through all those battles that he had to go through and conquered all those people, because it said his land is going to be vast from Mediterranean to Euphrates. I don't know how far that is, but I'm guessing it's pretty big. So that's pretty cool. Now, you say, well, let's go to number four here. The fourth piece of God's good news is the God's promise of his presence. I will be with you always. And that's important for you too to understand. Even in your bad times, God's there. In your good times, he's there. In your okay times, he's there. What we do with him during those times is what's important. Because what happens? We have good times. Where do we put God? In my back pocket? Saving for later? I don't need you now, God. Times are good. But what happens? When something bad happens, what do? We pull God out and we start yelling at him. Why are you doing this to me? Okay? And it will happen, Chloe and Kale, I promise. It's happened to me. It's happened to my kids. It's happened to everyone here, I'm sure. Be about God's business. Good times, bad times. He's never going to leave. His presence is always there. So how do we accomplish that? How do we come to that understanding? There's a few ways. Number one, we make a commitment to read, to study the Word every day. And I'm not always good at that. I got to confess. Sometimes it gets hard, but you know what? When I don't, guess what happens? He reminds me. Did you study this morning? Did you read my Word today? Did you pray today? I usually don't like those reminders. Luckily, they're getting fewer and farther between. But make a commitment to read the Word every day. Number two, be systematic about it. And here's, I think, where my problem lies. I'm not always, I know Les gets up like 3.5 hours before he goes to work. Okay, I'm on the 15-minute plan before I get to go to work. I do a lot of my study in my car, unfortunately. Now when I'm preaching, that's a different story, but I do a lot of my reading, a lot of my prayer time in the car. But be systematic about it. Find something that works for you guys. It may be, you know, Chloe and Kayla, you guys probably like to stay up late, right? You'll grow out of that. I thought, you know, I could just stay up late and study. Well, it's late 8:30, because that's the time I like to go to bed now. So you got to find some time that works for you. If it's 11:30 at night and it works for you, I think if you start your day with it, your day goes smoother. But if you're reading and praying about tomorrow, the night before, hey, okay. But have a system that works for you. Because as soon as you commit to it, the devil's going to throw a wrench in it. He's going to throw a show you want to watch, or none of you have kids yet. He's going to throw grouchy kids in the morning. You know, my wife's really devoted to that. She gets up in the morning, and again, I think she's about 3 hours before she has to leave. And I think her and Les have the same reason for that, because they got that hair they got to get done. Right? See me, I get in the shower and I soap up and I rinse off and I'm out, and it makes my wife crazy. But Chris will go down to the kitchen table before she gets anybody else up, and that's her time. And man, that works great for her. For me, it doesn't, because I don't like to get up that early. But so there, number two is be systematic about it. Have a system that works for you and follow it. Here's the most, I think, one of the, I think, the most important. Pray over what you've read or what you're going to read. Because if you ever started reading the Bible and say, oh, I'm not sure what you're saying here, pray about it before or after. And God will show you what he wants you to take. It's amazing how that works. Here's a good one. Follow through on what God lays on you. What happens, and I'll equate this to parenting, what the heck. When I lay something on my kids, what do I expect them to do? Go do it. Case in point, last night we drove home from Cedar Point. Actually, it was an early night because It was starting to storm up there, and Chris and I sat in the car for an hour before the kids came out, and they ended up getting wet. So inside, I was laughing pretty hard because I told you an hour ago, get back in the car. We want to ride one more. Okay. Your mom and I are dry. Bad news was I had to ride home with two girls that smell like wet dogs. And that was Morgan, my good smelling one. I can't imagine the other car. So then we get home, and Morgan somehow mysteriously fell asleep between Candlewood, where he dropped a friend off in our house. She was awake about the whole way home. And I said, okay, Morgan, you got to follow through. You got to go do chores. 11:30 at night, 11:15 at night. And I got the cooler out of the car, went and did whatever. Come back, Morgan's still laying in the car with the door open. I said, Morgan, I said, let's go. Now God feels the same way with us. Because he says, Matt, I want you to do this. And I lay there asleep and say, God, really? You want that? And Morgan said, Dad, I got to do chores tonight? Well, the sheep aren't going to feed themselves. But she did go do it, and I went and helped her. But God will be there to pick us up like I was to pick Morgan up by helping her with chores. God will always pick us up if we follow through on his plan. And I know maybe this isn't directly to Chloe and Kayla. We all need to hear this. Because as parents, do we ever not follow through? As Christians, do we ever not follow through? What's the number one reason people don't like to come to church? They think we're a bunch of what? Hypocrites. Because we come here on Sunday and we say this and do this and act this way. But then Monday through Friday, we're totally different people. That turns more people off church than anything. Well, that and they want something for nothing, and they don't want to commit to going every Sunday. You know, there's Sundays when we're not here, and I miss coming to church. I wasn't sure. I did not make my daughters come to church today. They may not know that because I didn't tell them, hey, you guys don't have to go to church. But Chris and I talked, and I said, listen, if you guys don't want to go to church Sunday, we might not be home until 12:30. Chris said, well, you're preaching, right? And I said, yeah. She said, well, that doesn't look pretty good. I don't want to be that person. I said, okay. Well, then we'll all get up and go to church. But the girls are here because they got up on their own and came. So Chris, I may get up, and actually she got up first again. And then the last thing we need to do, but probably the most important, we need to take this stuff that's in here and put it in here so that it comes out of here. Because this thing sometimes talks before we think about what we're saying. So those five things, if we live our lives by, read every day, read the Bible every day, be systematic about it, pray before and or after we read about what we read, follow through on what God needs, and put those words in our heart. And again, that doesn't just apply to Chloe and Kayla. That applies to all of us. They're just going to learn a lot of this. We should already know this, but we need reminded from time to time. Psalm 119. I'm going to turn to that. Verses 9 to 11. Here we go. I love this. How can those who are young keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I will seek with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. So there's kind of that tie up of those five things that we need to practice. We need to pray about it. We need to follow through with it. We need to apply it to our lives, and we need to put it in our heart so that it comes out of our mouth. Man, if Christianity should be simple. If we had a heart like this guy, God works on my heart a lot because it gets pretty hard and black time to time. So anything you two are going through, understand that there are people surrounding you today and in your life that have A, either gone through it, B, know what you're going through, or C, are just flat smarter than you. Do not come to me because you think I'm smarter than you. Come to me because I've probably done it. And I've lived through it. And God is still working on me every single day. And you're not a finished product because you graduated from high school. Your lives are just beginning. Follow God's plan. Listen for God's plan. Follow through with God's plan. And you will be prosperous and He will never leave you. That's what we want to hear. So I'll leave you with this story. And I hope that Chloe and Kayla enjoy all of God's promises. But as we'll see in the story, I want them to remain true to who they are because God made them. So there's a guy and he's out somewhere, I don't know where he's at. But there's a fire. And he sees a snake in the middle of this fire. So he reaches in so the snake doesn't get burned up. What happens? Snake bites him. Throws the snake. He looks around and he says, man, I've got to get that snake out. That fire's going to burn to death. Which would be the worst way to go, in my opinion. So he reaches down again, picks up the snake. The snake bites him. Somebody over there, over yonder, sees that. And he comes up and kind of says, dude, what are you doing? Why are you trying to save the snake? Just so I don't screw it up. It's kind of like a joke. You tell the punchline wrong, it's no good. Someone was watching and approached the man and said, excuse me, but don't you understand that every time you try to get the snake out of the fire, it's going to bite you? Why are you being so stubborn? The guy thought about it and he replied, the nature of the snake is to bite, but that's not going to change my nature, which is to help. So, with the help of a metal pole, the man took the snake out of the fire and saved its life. And I'll speak to Chloe and Kayla now, but do not change your nature simply because someone harms you. Do not lose the essence of who you are. Only take precautions. Worry more about your conscience than your reputation. Your conscience is who you are. And your reputation is simply what others think of you. And what other people think is not your problem. Yeah. And what other people think is not your problem, it's theirs. So, you two young ladies, be true to who you are. Be true to how you're raised. Be true to what values have been instilled into you. And don't change those. The world needs people who are true to who they are. And that's a hard lesson to learn. But if you stay true to who you are, like Jesus stayed true to who he was and what he wants, because at the end of the day, what does he want? He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to prosper and share. And if we do what God wants us to do, we're going to be prosperous and successful. We may not be the richest people in the world. We may not be the best looking people in the world. We may not be the best athlete in the world. We may not be the smartest person in the world. We are who we are, who God made us. Stay true to who you are, and you will be prosperous. So that's all I have. Well, except for, actually, Chloe and Kayla are going to do the rest of the service. I didn't tell them this, but they're going to come forward. No, I'm kidding. Chloe and Kayla, if you guys would come up, I promised them both they wouldn't have to speak. We have a little gift from the church here that we want to give you. So if you got girls would come forward. I'm going to talk a little bit about both of them because I know both of them a little bit. I'm going to start with Kayla. Kayla came. You might be telling me. Kayla used to come to, probably still does, but I was teaching youth group, and it's been 2 or 3 years ago, and Kayla doesn't say much, but when she does say it, it's point on. She's listening. She knows. But the one thing I took from Kayla, well, there's two things. Number one, Kayla, I talked to her last week, and I assume plans are still the same. You're not sure yet where you're going. Kayla's not sure what the immediate future looks like for her, and like I said earlier, that's fine. God will give her that plan. God will give her that plan. I can tell you right now that this kid is more talented, and I'm not artistic, okay? I'll just throw that out there. I can't even draw a stick figure straight. This kid has more artistic ability in her little pinky than most people have in their whole body. Some of the drawings she has are amazing. No, a lot of them are. But the one thing I learned about Kayla, and I don't know whether it's because Colin was here or not, but we're playing a game on little, like, things you use in the garage to go under cars. I don't know what they're called. Creepers. And we had stuff out in the middle, and they had to, like, guide each other. I'm telling you, Kayla's competitive. Kayla is competitive because she did not want to lose. And plus, when you're wielding Colin, now he was a little bit littler then, but she was pushing Colin around in that thing, and Colin's pretty competitive too. But that was neat for me to see because I didn't know that side of Kayla, that she was competitive. So that was cool. But Kayla, here is a little Bible and devotional for you. This will systematically walk you through the Bible. And, you know, it's an honor. All these people here are your family. You can go to anyone here if you have problems you need to talk about, or, you know, you have questions about the Bible. I'd probably go to one or two of those guys that wouldn't come to me about theological questions. But commit yourself to going through this devotional book, and I guarantee you're going to learn a lot about yourself. And I'm talking to both of you, and I was just talking to Kayla. But when I start going through planned devotionals like this, God always enlightens me in a way that I'm not going to get by doing it myself. And that's part of his plan. So there's a Bible, a devotional. Congratulations. Chloe. Yeah. Chloe. Chloe wrote me a little note here. Chloe, again, graduated. Both these girls graduated from Northmoor. Chloe was involved in volleyball, bowling, and FFA for 4 years. Well, 3 years in volleyball. She'll be attending Bowling Green State University to study early childhood education. So, man, Britt's a teacher and couldn't talk you out of it. That's God's plan right there. But, you know, Chloe understands the importance of educators, because we're going to need educators, and the government and everybody makes it harder and harder to do your job. But very commendable profession. And then also on that, Jackson is awesome, is what Chloe wrote. I don't know. I know. He'll get online and listen to it, though. And I will tell you this. I looked at some pictures earlier. I'll be here at your party tonight later. But I was looking at some pictures, and, man, Lexi, you look an awful lot like Chloe. I did a couple double takes. But Chloe is going to obviously go to Bowling Green, and that's a huge thing. So nervous about future, spot on, ready to go. Ready to go. Me too, I was when I graduated. There's the same for you. And girls, take a look, because this is your extended church family. Again, here's the one thing I do want you guys to take from this. These people will be praying for you, have been praying for you. Now that you've graduated, it doesn't end. And there are, I have proof that does work. My two older daughters both can tell you. They felt people praying for them in a rough time, and it pulled them out. So it was pretty cool to hear. So understand that there are people praying for you. There are people thinking about you. You'll probably get some cards from time to time from people. Pretty cool. And when you're around and back in the area or around the area, we'll always be your church home. So stop in and see us. All right? Congrats. Thank you. Thank you, girls. So if you haven't congratulated them yet, take a moment, because that is a huge, huge deal. High school graduation is something, and what I'll share, and I wanted to use Cedar Point one more time. The roller coasters, Chloe and Kayla and all the other younger kids are in here. That first 18 years of your life is like waiting in line. The anticipation. You just want to get on the ride. You just want to graduate and move out. Or you just want to graduate and go to college. Then you start climbing that first hill. And you think, what did I get myself into? I just want to be in high school again. Your life will be like a roller coaster. There will be peaks. There will be valleys. There's one thing that's constant. The guy that died on the cross for you. So as you go through those peaks and those valleys, just remember Jesus. Remember the sacrifice he made, because he didn't have to do that. So as we close up, the praise team is going to come, and we have a song of invitation. If anyone has prayer concerns, Les and Jesse and I will be here. If anyone would like to know more about accepting Christ as your Savior, that's what we're here for, guys. At the end of the day, we want to save lives. Come forward. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to pray with you over that. And then I'm going to bring Kayla and Chloe back up here real quick, too. We're going to pray. The three of us are going to pray with you real quick while this song's going on. And we won't ignore anybody that comes, but I want to bring Chloe and Kayla back up. We'll pray with them real quick as well. All right, so praise band, take her away.